No doubt about it. And you know, there's not a ton of guys on this team that are around for any of or most of the 14. Obviously, this roster has changed a ton. But yeah, it's good to put that away. It was, you know, it's known Zach Bove, the new White Sox pitching coach, was here in Kansas City for a while. And on the other side of that 14-0 record, ran into him at one point at the hotel. And yeah, it's on people's mind. And it's especially nice to get it done in the first game the way they did it, leaning on some high leverage arms and Grant Taylor and Jordan Leisure and Sir Anthony Dominguez. You kept Bobby Witt Jr. as quiet as one can keep Bobby Witt Jr. And it was a really nice ball game last night. Incredibly well pitched by both Chris Bubich and Davis Martin. That should not go without saying. That's an old fashioned pitcher's duel. And I think you can expect hopefully more of that close game and probably good action here in the next 2 days, knowing that neither of the offenses have really gotten themselves unhooked yet. And, you know, it's still April, and this is a very large ballpark, even though they moved the fences in a little bit.
Last night's game was a game that Mark Burley could be proud of. An hour 55, absolutely absurd, Connor. To get back real quick to Thursday night, I saw on the broadcast, had a chance to talk with Anthony Kay, who on Thursday night had a really nice performance. He picked up his first win in the majors since 2021. Obviously, he went over and has been out of the majors for a couple of years now, but it was good to see him. And I have to admit, you know, I saw him in spring training and was impressed, but I continue to be, I think, more impressed now when you get into real games, seeing what he's able to do, the velocity that he's bringing. He looks like someone who could be a really interesting arm for the White Sox.
Yeah, I agree. You know, one of the things that surprised a lot of the White Sox coaching staff, you know, in a good way, was just how good the fastball played while he was in spring training and what the velo clicked up to. It's not like they didn't know. I'm just saying it's one thing to read the metrics and, you know, look at everything on a piece of paper, a scouting report, and then, you know, be out there on the field and see it, you know, kind of working on hitters. I think one of the big differences that got pointed out last night, or 2 nights ago, rather, with Kay, is his ability to land the breaking stuff for strikes and get some chase. One of the things we'll point out on the broadcast today is that, you know, there's some hard hit rate against Anthony Kay that, you know, kind of went the other way in that Baltimore game. Guys that were, balls that were hit right at defenders, Miguel Vargas making a really great play last Saturday, if you'll remember, that absolute rocket, and he's turning that into an out. So it's kind of nice to see the defense back you up on one end and then go get some good chase and some swing and miss against a lot of the left-handers that matter in this Royals lineup in night number one for Kay. I think there's a build there. I think there's a starter in there that likes to pitch a little bit angry, which is good. I love that. I like a guy going out trying to prove something. I'm just curious, and I've asked him twice now, if he's going to get the baseball from his first major league win in 5 years. He wasn't sure where it ended up, whether Sir Anthony ended up with that ball after the save or whether Murakami pocketed the thing after the win. He's interested in getting that baseball, but not obsessed with it. Oh, so we'll see who gets that.
Connor McKnight of CHSN joining me here on White Sox Weekly. So the one thing, and I know it's, you know, April baseball, early bad weather, you know, in a lot of places. Obviously, the White Sox fans have seen it. We saw it on the other night on, was it Monday night, Tuesday afternoon. It was pretty cold conditions, so you're going to at times struggle to see offensive numbers be where you want them to be. But I'll also, you know, I playing this straight here, Connor. I'm not going to just pull out the pom-poms. The bottom of the order last night and just in general in the outfield with, you know, now with the injury to Austin Hayes, I'm concerned that the White Sox are going to have to win too many games by that 2-0 score. You know, what do you think? It's just, let's chalk it up to April weather and give them a little bit of a buffer here and see what happens. Or, you know, I look at the outfield right now and it just feels like they're going to need some more power down the road here.
Yeah, they know they're a little light too right now. I think one of the messages that's been sent and talked about some publicly by the coaching staff too is we got to get back to getting after the fastball here. That's something Will Venable has harped on last year to great effect. You remember the run they went on after the All-Star break. And, you know, this is something similar, some sort of a quest to make sure they're covering velocity. But this outfield doesn't look like what they wanted it to look like coming out of spring training due to the injuries to Austin Hayes and Everson Carrera. Got a little news about 10, 15 minutes ago. Pereira's going to head out on a rehab assignment starting tomorrow. So that's good and something that he thinks can be a fairly quick rehab assignment as well. Be nice to get that back into the lineup. Listen, when you have guys like Tristan Peters and Dustin Harris and even to a certain degree Derek Hill, who's, you know, primary weapons, and maybe less so for Harris and more so for the other guys, are making sure they're laying down good bunts and being able to take advantage of misaligned defenses. That's one way to get the job done, and we've seen it work for the White Sox already. But, you know, I'd like a little bit more slugging percentage, and I think you would too. I think the White Sox would, for that matter. That's why they're talking about covering fastballs. So right now they're playing less than optimized offensively. They still believe that they can get that done, and their trust is going to be, I think, more so on the defensive side of things and the run prevention area of this game. They've gotten much, much better pitching in this second and now leading into the third week of baseball than they did in the first week. And that's a good step toward winning close games when you're a little undermatched offensively.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. Listen, if you're saying, hey, you need the strength of your team to be, you know, pitching or hitting, give me pitching every time, you're probably more times than not going to be better off for it. And, yeah, Davis Martin settled with a tough luck loss last night, but looked really good again, and he has in his first three starts. We already talked about Kay. Now, the one guy who hasn't, Shane Smith, I've talked about him quite a bit today, of course, because that was, I think, for White Sox fans, a big headline this week, him being optioned to AAA as he tries to work on that four-seamer. What are your thoughts about Shane Smith? Do you think this is going to be a short stint, or do you think, you know, hey, last season was great, but it's also a reminder that this game's very tough and you always have to be doing your best if you want to stay at the major league level?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of that. I think it's a little bit of the first thing, too. I really do believe that this can be a short stint in AAA for him. It's up to him, though. I mean, the White Sox want him back. You look at the rotation right now, there's definitely a spot for him. They've yet to announce who the starter is going to be on Sunday, but it looks like we'll find that out probably after the ball game today. Jonathan Cannon's lined up to start in AAA on Sunday, so it's possible that he could come up and make that start. But back to Shane, I mean, listen, it comes down to fastball, command, and location. I thought he made really good steps in that last start where he struck out eight and, yeah, had a bunch of walks. And I was somewhat surprised to see him sent down. However, when you look at the state of the bullpen and the state of the innings that they were needing and the subsequent moves that they've made, even in the pen, you know, Schweitzer and now going on to Duncan Davitt, they're very cognizant of making sure that they've got some catch-all options back there that can give you innings. And that becomes a much more tenuous thing when once every fifth day, you know, you're really hoping for four out of a guy given the state of where things were. So it was more a cautious move than anything else. But, you know, on the other hand of things, Shane was such an outright success story last year, and there's a reason that there aren't precedents for his kind of run after being drafted in the Rule 5 draft. It's really hard to do, and I think you kind of can credit this White Sox front office for things like getting aggressive and being able to land him, and also knowing that once you get him through that first full season, he is a pitcher, young in his development, with a lot of injuries in college. He didn't allow him to pitch much. That also has three options. They've been, again, aggressive about getting guys the opportunities to develop, even if they're a little bit more unconventional in those opportunities. I'm looking at Colson Montgomery warming up right now. I mean, shoot, you know, what they did last year with him really worked and has gotten him to the big leagues. So I don't see any reason that they'd change that level of aggression when it comes to making sure that their players are in the right positions and, you know, potentially right cities to develop. But again, you know, going back to this, I really do think that this could be a short stay for Shane at AAA if he makes it so.
And I'll add to that too, Connor. One of the silver linings I take from this is because, you know, it was a surprise, but not a stunner because of the way he had started the season. But what I'll be encouraged by is to your point about the White Sox saying, hey, you know, the bullpen, we're kind of left high and dry here. What I like is, we're at a stage now with the organization, especially with Will now leading the way. It's like, hey, We're trying to win baseball games at the major league level.
Yep.
This isn't 2024 where we're just going to let, you know, a young arm who we appreciate and we like a lot just go out there and trot out to the majors because, you know, he's proven in the past. It's like, hey, we need to win games at the major league level. So if you're not doing it at the major league level, well, we've got, you know, that's what the minors are for to get right. So as a Sox fan, I guess that's the encouraging point is, hey, it's not going to be good enough just to be like, oh, we got young guys who we're excited about. Let's let them go pitch at the major league level.
Yeah, and I think this is a great point, Jeff, and I think it's also worth pointing out that, like, yeah, while this team does have, you know, up and down the roster a lot of places to develop still, I can't think of a quicker way to tank some of that development than keeping on going to a taxed bullpen to try and preserve, you know, late leads or keep you in games. I can't think of a more demoralizing and quicker way to, you know, toss some results out than you know, challenging that challenging a bullpen the way that they've avoided here.
Of course, Connor does a great job covering the dugout and the sidelines for CHSN when he's not filling in, doing some play-by-play work as well. But you are probably well aware the Road to the Rate podcast, which Connor does quite frequently here, and he knows a thing or two about the White Sox minor league system, which is something that I think Sox fans are very encouraged by. Connor, we're talking about pitching. Noah Schultz, Hagen Smith, Tanner McDougal, can't have you on without at least touching upon them and how dominant Schultz looked his last time out. Listen, I mean, no one ever actually knows when it's going to happen, but how far away do you think Noah Schultz could be to making his debut at the major league level?
Well, first, if I may, share a little news with you. The next episode of Road to the Rate is going to drop on Tuesday prior to the Charlotte Knights playing an 11 o'clock game after their off day on Monday.
Oh,
and Jeff, I'm pretty pumped about this.
Okay.
I talked to Noah Schultz this morning for the show.
Mm.
It's going to be it's going to be an episode with Noah and with Billy Carlson, the first round pick for the White Sox just last year.
Yes.
So, big episode coming out on Tuesday. We're pretty jacked about it. The conversation with Noah was outstanding. And I think, you know, given the results.
Did he say, I'll see you at Rate Field next week?
I did, and okay. He refused to answer my question.
Good
it was
call.
A pretty awkward ending to the interview. No, I'm
yeah.
kidding. He doesn't know when it's coming yet. We did talk about what it is to, you know, to be on the cusp, to know that every time that you go out there, may be your last time as a minor leaguer. It's just such a wild thing to have to deal with mentally, you know? Listen, I don't know that I've seen this stuff look this good in quite a while. It's certainly been, you know, a season filled with injuries last year of a knee issue for sure. We talked a lot, Noah and I, about delineating his cutter from his slider and the progress he's made on that and the results he's gotten because of it. It's a really big step in his development and one that he's pretty sure of at this point, which is very cool. As far as his timeline, I think once we get through the month of April here, that any conversation about when he's coming up is a valid one, right? I think this first month of April, it's probably hands off. I think anything as soon as we get into, what's the month after April? May? Is it May? Is that
it
how this works?
May,
I've forgotten
yes.
what day and how calendars work at all. I think once we get into May, you're on Schultz watch.
Yes.
I really think that could be the case. We're at that point in his development, and you know, Lord willing, he stays healthy and the results stay what they are. I think that's probably what White Sox fans can look forward to is being right there on the cusp